1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd ask you to turn there as we continue in this series, The Triumphant Church in 1 Corinthians. Recall that Paul is answering their questions, and he began a new topic in chapter 11 going to 14 with the importance of orderly worship in the church. And he says there, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. It literally in the Greek says spiritual things. It doesn't actually have the word gifts there, but he obviously is going to be talking about the gifts, but he wants to deal with real spirituality in this passage. And he's dealing with another area of conflict here that the Corinthians were known for. And Paul is building on truths he's already laid, the message of the cross, the wisdom of God, which was the opposite of the world's wisdom, and the Corinthians had been caught up in that worldly focus. And Paul has been showing them and us what true spirituality is really about. It's not based in individualism and pride and selfishness, of course, worldly wisdom, individual accomplishments. Not based in our freedoms and our own little kind of relationship with God and the way we want to do things, you know. And we think, hey, I've got things the way I want, and I'm spiritual, I'm pious, and I can live the way I want to as a Christian. I'm free in Christ. No, it's based in love and sacrifice. True spirituality is to know Christ, who came in humility to go to the cross, to suffer, to lay down his life. It's based in selflessness and thinking of others and giving up our freedoms. We've already seen that in 8 to 10 especially of Corinthians, that we love the Christians and build them up and we reach the lost. It's about humility, which results in love and then resulting unity, as we're going to see throughout these chapters coming up. Now, in this context, Paul takes us to the topic of spiritual gifts, of course. How God has saved us together in one body, the church, made of many parts, we'll see next week, so that we are interdependent. That's how God has made us. That we might grow to know His love more and more and use our gifts and then show His love within the body especially, as everyone serves in unique ways, expressing God's grace in Jesus Christ. So when we get to chapter 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that we all know so well, the love chapter, we're going to take an in-depth look at that, starting in a couple weeks, breaking it down all the way up to Christmas, and what is God's love coming from heaven in the flesh into this world, what Christmas is all about, the real love of God, agape love. We're going to do that. That's going to be great. But the Corinthians, you see, we've got to understand that this love chapter takes place, Corinthians 13, in the context that we see here. It's not just a wedding chapter. The Corinthians were living with worldly wisdom, remember? They were bringing that worldly wisdom into the church family, into the worship idea, even divided not only over the Lord's Supper, as we saw last week, but over their gifts. Looking down on one another, comparing, and someone said they were turning healthy diversity into unhealthy conflict based in self. And like many churches today, unfortunately, they get divided over this thing of the gifts. That's not what the gifts are supposed to do, divide us. And a lot of times you'll see it in churches today even where people are thinking, well, this particular gifting and this focus is more important than this focus. No, what we can do is better, what we know. You know, this is what is spiritual. And they totally miss the point of the spiritual gifts. And they act out of pride and selfishness instead of growing in Christ's likeness. And we're going to see in chapter 4 more about this. We won't deal like a ton with it in the next couple weeks, but we will more later. Though I'll mention some things. Paul is addressing the particular emphasis that some of these Corinthians had on the more charismatic gifts. And no matter what you think about those, or you have, you know, been taught, we know Paul says, the way he describes them, they're at the bottom of the totem pole, where they had flipped it around and made those the most important things. And they were fighting over these. They were some who said, hey, we've got those gifts. And they were looking down on other Christians, treating them like second-class citizens. Second-class Christians, because they didn't have X gift. These particular gifts. And they were missing the whole point. Like the story of the animals, they decided they would start a school, these animals, in a made-up story, to deal with the problems of the world. And they adopted a curriculum consisting of running and climbing and swimming and flying. And to make it easier to do it all, they just said every animal's got to take all the subjects. And the duck was excellent in swimming, in fact, better than his teacher, but he only made passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. But since he was slow in running, he had to stay after school, the duck, and drop swimming so he could practice the running. But this made his webbed feet so worn out, he was average in swimming. The rabbit started at the top of the class in running, but had a nervous breakdown because he had so much makeup work, the rabbit, in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing until he developed frustration in the flying class where the teacher made him start from the ground up instead of going from the treetop down. Well, the eagle was a problem child and was disciplined in this school severely. In the climbing class, he beat all the others up to the top of the tree, but the eagle insisted on his own way to get there. Flying, of course. Now, the Bible is clear. See, what we try to do in the church sometimes is put a square peg in a round hole. Or maybe I got that backwards. Round that peg in a square hole. We want to let everybody, you know, to do what. And sometimes we have to serve and do things that maybe we don't feel as called to do. But God has made us all unique. He has gifted us in different ways where we all need to know what those things are, whether it might be a skill or service or leadership or whatever those areas are in music. And God combines all those things together to use for His glory. And these abilities with your spiritual gifts, they're all given from God, but the spiritual gifts empower those natural talents and help us to serve them in a spiritual way out of love so that grace is shown and we grow together. Now here's the thing. Yes, God is in control and works in our lives in spite of ourselves. Many times we know, right? But I believe Christians are going to be frustrated if they don't know this about God's will for their life. If you don't know how God's made you, gifted you, how He wants you to serve Him uniquely, you're going to be frustrated in your Christian life. Now, the other thing is this. You're never going to know God's will on your life and gifting, and you're not going to help others to grow by comparing yourself with others. By saying, well, I don't have that. I wish I had that. Or I just don't have anything, you know. What can I offer? You know. Looking down on others. And we're going to see more of that next week, you know, where you don't say, hey, I just, in a false humility, don't have anything to offer. Or you think what you believe, what you do and you offer is more important than the other parts, the other people that are gifted. And this is what was happening in the Corinthian church and what he's dealing with in 1 Corinthians 12. In the Corinthian church, they were looking at each other and placing value judgments on one another, even if it was kind of subtle, based on performance and competence and certain gifts that certain ones had and others don't have. And some of the members had more quote-unquote impressive talents or skills perhaps than others. And they were acting like the world. They weren't living by the wisdom of the cross. It was the worldly idea and pride and accomplishment and what I can do. And look at the gifts that we have and you don't have. And someone said, Paul writes here to level the playing field, to clarify the equality of all the members and what they all bring to the table. So Paul's going to do it here in these, we're just going to look at the first 11 verses, of course, today. He's putting in some corrective principles to deal with this. The diversity, number one, of the Spirit's work. Number two, the priority of the church's good. And number three, the sovereignty of the Spirit's will. And we're going to look at those in some application points. But this Sunday, next Sunday, before we get to Corinthians 13, we're going to look at the cross and Christian community. The power of God's grace at work in the church, His body, and how we each are gifted by God. We each play a role in what God is doing, and we need to know that. God loved us so much, He sent His Son in love to save us. That's Christmas. We're going to look at that. But in the ultimate gift of His Son, that Son brings gifts. The Holy Spirit gives specific gifts of His grace to every one of us that we might serve and love. Number one thing we've got to do here in verses 1 to 6 is start with grace. If you look at verses 1 to 6 there, start with grace. See, 1 to 2, those verses give us the context. Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to live with an ignorance of what spiritual gifts are about, of course. And we shouldn't want to be. We shouldn't want others to be ignorant. You might have a general understanding of what they're about, but it can be a wrong idea. And we shouldn't want to be ignorant of the Holy Spirit and true spirituality and what the blessing is that the Spirit brings to each of us. The Corinthians thought they understood spiritual things, you think, but they didn't know as much as they thought they knew, as some Christians think. Someone said the problem was not that they were ignorant of the presence of the gifts, but that they were unspiritual and extreme in their application. They knew they had some, but they didn't know how to use them rightly, in a godly way. And Paul's main point opening here, in mentioning the idols, if you notice there, that they used to worship before they were saved, was to say, I believe, remember the influence of the spiritual realm. Remember how people can counterfeit things of spirituality and make it, it looks like the devil's a master at that. Remember the spiritual realm you were a part of, influenced by those false ideas and idolatry. See, what we've got to remember is there are all kinds of counterfeit spiritual ideas getting even into churches today about spirituality, about the Holy Spirit, just as it is true today. Believers can get distracted and deceived by all kinds of emotionalism and wrong ideas about the Holy Spirit and spirituality. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. Paul is aiming to ground us in God's grace as he deals with this. To say, though there are many gifts, remember, they all flow from God, the Trinity, the one true God. They all come from his grace. None of us deserve them and earn them. And the main way, get this, you know for sure that the Holy Spirit is working, it's not ultimately in signs and wonders and miraculous things. God certainly can do these things. But the main way you know is in a person's belief as Jesus, as Lord. That's how you know. Did you notice what Paul says here? The main purpose the Spirit has is not to point to himself. The Holy Spirit never has the goal of saying, look at what the Holy Spirit's doing. Or look at what the person who has the Holy Spirit is doing. It's to Jesus Christ. He points to him. And when he gifts each of us and uses us in the church, that will always be central, the gospel and Jesus, in all that we do. I believe God heals today, of course. But when there are faith healers out there on TV or whatever who are saying nothing about Jesus Christ and the cross, and they're focusing on their ability to heal and how God has gifted them and nothing about Jesus, we have to be careful, don't we? We should be suspicious. This guy Wilson shares the story of someone who had previously been a member of the People's Temple, the cult, led by Jim Jones, who many died in a mass suicide years ago. And this person was asked why they left. And they said it was because the group at one time advertised an event where people could, quote, come and hear the man who possesses all nine of the spiritual gifts. Now, first, there are more than nine spiritual gifts. I hope you know. But if anybody ever talks like this, you need to run. Paul is saying everyone has a gifting as Christian. No one has everything. It's like the sea captain and his chief engineer. They're arguing on this big ship in this story about who was more important on the ship. And failing to agree, they resorted to the unique idea of swapping places. And the chief engineer ascended to the bridge where the captain worked. The captain descended to the engine room. And after a few hours only, the captain suddenly appeared on the deck, covered with oil and soot. And he just said, Chief, he's yelling. He's waving a wrench, you know. He said, you've got to come down here. I can't make her go, the ship. And the other guy yelled back. The engineer said, well, no wonder, she's aground. She won't move. The Holy Spirit works in many different ways, all to glorify Christ. No one has all of the gifts. Yeah, but, you know, when you exercise your gifting, you know one of the ways you find yourself freed in doing it. You are blessed. There's a joy in it. It's not a chore to serve ultimately. Yeah, we all have times like that. But you know, it's not draining you. God's working through you. You know it's coming from Him. You're humble. There's that humility. And God has gifted you. It's a gift of His grace. And He's using you in it. And it energizes you. See, all these gifts are spread out amongst us. No one has them all. It's for the purpose of showing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? Before you ever talk about all the specifics, we're all gifted by grace and called to function in the way God has gifted us, each of us uniquely, but all for the purpose of showing others Jesus is Lord. He has changed our life. He deserves all the praise and all the credit. And when it comes to God's grace, no Christian is more important because we've all been given new birth and salvation and the gifts through the Spirit so that Christ is glorified. Look at verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the same, by the Holy Spirit. See, this is the main test of the Holy Spirit's work. Can you see God's grace at work in, through your life and in the church? Having changed us from those who essentially cursed His name with our lives, our words and our works, to those who are glorifying with Him with our lives, our words. Those who know Him to be Lord and who show Him more and more to be Lord of all. Robert said this conversion and the consequent acknowledgement of Christ's Lordship is the only marker, really, that distinguishes the spiritual person from the unspiritual person. And all true Christians, he said, are spiritual. See, they were looking down on one another in Corinth, comparing one another, not unified, not using their gifts with the right mindset, with the right attitude. And the first thing Paul shows them is that we all have all of our strength, all of our resources and gifts and abilities coming from a God of grace as gifts of grace. And the point was, no matter how important these Corinthians thought they were because of their gifts, they had to remember that. Everything came from the God of grace as a gift of grace. You know, people get wrong even about this grace or gift idea in the world today, aren't they? Even with Christmas, you know? The world looks at it as, hey, Christmas is coming up. Are you naughty or nice? Will you get something good? Well, it's based on how you've done, you know? And people try to control what they receive with Christmas and birthdays sometimes, don't they? You know, we write out our list. Here's what I want you to give me. You know, it's a gift. It's not what you want. If you don't like your gift, well, you can make sure you give them a gift receipt and they'll return it. And if they don't, well, then re-gift it. Give it to somebody else and then it's their problem. You know, have you bought your friend a nice gift for something and then you at Christmas and you felt cheated because they didn't give you as quite a nice a gift as you got them? Shouldn't they? Isn't it equal here? Equality and gift giving? But this is the way the world looks at it. It all shows us the wrong way our world looks at gifts. Like something we work for and earn, and it gives us a totally wrong view of what God's grace and the gifts that flow from Him are all about. The fact that we are have called Jesus Lord is only because the Holy Spirit has given this as the ultimate gift. Someone said faith is a given, or is given, it's a gift, and it removes all pride and ego because everything else flows from God as gifts of grace. See, the word Paul uses here in Greek for gift is charisma. And the root of that is charis, which in Greek means grace. The root of charisma of gifts is grace. It's a God-given ability to a Christian only that God works through them to bless other believers. That they'll see His grace, know His grace. So our response is key. Our attitude is gratitude, not pride, not something Paul earlier said to the Corinthians. What do you have that you didn't receive? Spiritual gifts are just that. They are gifts. We don't earn them. We don't get saved then and then later on get the Spirit and get the better gifts later because we've done something. It's all gifts of God's grace. Look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God of grace who's working all in all. See, there are so many types of gifts, yes, but the same God is working in and through each of us in all these different ways
that we're gifted. And God, all three persons of the Trinity, is at work in all of that. See what Paul's doing? The gifts are different, the combinations of ways God works to point people to Jesus as we serve Him are different. They are multicolored. But the source of all the gifts, the power to serve, the ability is all flowing from the same source. When you talk about spiritual gifts, sometimes people get so focused on the gifts and they lose sight of the God who gives the gifts. Unity is not in our gifts ultimately, though we need to know them. They're in our God. That's where the unity is. It's in Christ, in God. Wearsby said, the source of the gift is God. The sphere of using the gift is from God. And the energy, did you notice how he uses all parts of the Trinity? The energy to use the gift is from God. So why in the world would we glorify ourselves or brag or glorify others? We don't have all the same gifts, and no matter what they are, they're given by the same God for service to the Lord, by the Spirit to serve, energized by God the Father. So just as there is unity, you notice what Paul does, there's unity and diversity in the Godhead, the Trinity, right? See how all are involved, but they're all unified. So is there unity and diversity in the church. That's where our diversity and yet unity flows from God. In other words, you have a variety of different combinations of Christians with spiritual gifts and abilities and personality. We need to know all those. But as a true Christian uses their gifts and their abilities, all in these different ways of service, it's all coming from the God of grace who gives all of that, who is working behind all those ministries for His glory to point people to Christ. Charismata is the first word he uses here in Greek. It means varieties of gifts. This is focusing us on the fact these are gifts. We don't earn them. We don't seek out the gift we want. They're gifts. Diakonia is the next word we get the word deacon from. It means service. There's varieties of service. Our gifts are not a reason to boast. Jesus is the model of this. He came to serve, not to be served. And He gives us opportunity. We don't dodge service. Then there's energemata, this Greek word for varieties of energies and power. God the Father gives those. Remember, the Spirit gives the gifts. The Son has opportunities to serve. The Father empowers it. It's a word for His creative, alive power at work through each one of us in so many different ways to serve Him. And the point in all this is Paul is grounding our unity made up of all these different gifts in the God who Himself is unified and yet working in diverse ways. God the Spirit gives gifts, but He's not the only one involved. The Son sets the example of our service, giving opportunities as we follow Him in the many ways to serve Him in the way of the cross. And God the Father is empowering us, again, with energy and power and creative wisdom in all these different opportunities. So, as someone said, yes, we stand shoulder to shoulder on the core truths of the faith. But also, Christianity was never meant to produce an army of clones or a franchise of copycat Christians or churches. The one triune God, and God loves variety. It's all united in His gospel. But the one triune God creates a variety of gifts leading to a diversity of ministries, producing a panorama of results that all show His grace. So the Spirit gives the gifts. The Lord Jesus opens opportunities, shows the model for those. See, we use our gifts in the church, but we shouldn't assume that that's the only place, I hope you know, you use your gifts. There's all kinds of opportunities God gives us. Our gifts are within us, one man said, but the opportunities are all around us. Jesus shows us. He's the model of that service. God is one, unified perfectly, but He works in us in so many diverse ways as three persons. God is working in His body in so many ways to point us to His love and His grace and the message of the cross. And when we're, as different Christians, using our abilities, serving out of love for Jesus, you know what happens? As we are knowing our niche and we're serving together, well, then more and more the greatness of God, His amazing grace, is seen in a multicolored way. People see. When Jesus walked the earth, He had all the gifts. We don't have all the gifts, all of us individually. But as we come together, He gives us what we need, and we see a more and more beautiful picture of God's grace and who Jesus really is. as we're knowing these gifts and we use them. It shows the multicolored grace of God, the greatness of God. The most important thing to do is you've got to receive Christ, first of all, of course, and then you respond in service, and you get in there and you love and you serve based on grace, and you begin to see, I believe, how God will use you. I like the old story of the king who went to the village to greet his subjects, and he met this beggar who held up his bowl, and he thought the king would give him a gift. Instead, the king asked the beggar to give him something. And taken back, the beggar fished out 3 grains of rice from his bowl and dropped them into the king's outstretched hand. At the end of the day, the beggar is pouring out what he had received. He didn't think the king gave him anything. But amazingly, 3 grains of pure gold in this parable fall out of his bowl. And the beggar thinks to himself, now what if I had given him everything? Now this is how grace works in a way. Because when we come to God, we come with empty hands. We only come with our hearts in surrender and humility, not in anything saying, oh, I can do this, God, or I've got this ability. We come in humility, knowing everything we have that He will use us for comes from His gracious power, from our wealthy King. If we think we are doing things and we've gifted and we're serving because of what we've earned and what we accomplish, then the opposite response of what the gift is supposed to do is going to happen. Opposite result. Instead of humility and gratitude for that gift, instead of seeing the gift as something that we know comes from grace and we serve out of love and we grow in Christ-likeness, instead we boast and we become divided like the Corinthians. That's what they were doing, looking down on others. The whole point of God giving us the gift is that we'll grow to know all we have in Jesus Christ. What Corinthians is about. How Jesus came in humility to save us, that we might become like Him in sacrifice and service. If you're in debt $1 million and somebody deposits $1 million the next day in your account, no strings attached, what do you have to boast about? What do we have to boast about? You know, it makes no difference how good people may think they are at something if they don't have a humility about it. A gratitude. We won't know His grace if we don't. And some people get confused about spiritual gifts. They are spiritual. They're from God, from the Holy Spirit. And we get them the moment we believe. But a better word in a way might be grace gifts. Because that's what they are. They come from God's grace and they reveal the grace of God in Christ as we use them in the right way, in a multicolored variety of ways as we serve. See, spiritual gifts are different from spiritual fruit. I hope you'll know, just to highlight that. Because spiritual fruit is something we're all to grow in, all the spiritual fruit. And if you notice, the gifts seem similar to the fruit. But the fruit is something we're all to grow in, those character qualities to be like Jesus, to be merciful, to serve, to teach even in some way, to lead in some way perhaps. But we don't all get the gifts, but the gifts are spread out, we'll see next week, to make us connected, make us dependent. And then as we all use our different gifts, we grow in those areas. It expedites growth and it helps others to grow to know who Jesus is in those different areas. We grow together. The gifts help us serve and love other Christians. We don't get them all. And when you're passionate in some area, this is how you know God's working. Leads me to number 2, verses 7 to 10, and that's serve others for the common good. 7 to 10. If the first point deals with the personal grace of God in giving us each gift, this second point deals with the purpose of those gifts. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, this is the key verse here because it is key because it emphasizes why the Spirit gives these different gifts working in different ways. And it's not, ultimately you don't know your gift. You're not going to discover joy in it by focusing on yourself in it. Well, I've got to be fulfilled. What do I need to do? This is the way some people look at spirituality. This is what Paul's dealing with in this book. That spirituality is about my relationship with God and my personal piety, and I'll be really godly if I go off into silence by myself and have no connection with anybody else. Well, anybody can do that. It's not spirituality. No, but he's saying it's for the profit, the common good. Someone said the gifts are not given to a small set of elite believers to mark them out as genuinely spiritual versus the rest of the church. The manifestation or demonstration of the Spirit is given to each one, including you and you and you and me, for the benefit of everyone. See, manifestation, we get confused by that word, but what it means is that the Spirit's power working in true Christians is given that as we use our different gifts, who the Spirit is and what He's doing in God's grace is going to be demonstrated. And it'll be put on display, exhibited, as we love one another and serve in that specific way to show people who God is, to show what He's given us in Jesus in a variety of ways. The Spirit shows God's grace, it shows us who Christ is in all these different ways as we serve for the common good. Think of a dozen musicians. They're going to get together. They've mastered their different instruments, but they gather not for harmonious symphony, but to outperform each other. That's the way the Corinthians were. To argue. You know, if you've ever tried to, show up, to show off. They show up to show off. If you've ever tried to be a part of some group like that, or even a team in sports, or orchestra in music, or sing a solo, or sing together with a choir, you know it's not just about a bunch of individual people with their talents coming together, clanging, playing an instrument, no matter how good, singing in a way that only emphasizes yourself. We know this. But sometimes in the church we lose sight. We've got to have a willingness to play our parts with others for the sake of something bigger than our own purpose. So when we accept our gifts with humility, point one, then we will use them to promote harmony. Point number two we're looking at here. Serve for the common good. The building up of the whole church. God never meant for us to practice our spiritual gifts and instruments in an isolated soundproof room. In other words, but to take our seats in His orchestra, His church, where we serve together and we grow together and we build each other up. And that's what we're called to do. But what do we find in the world today? You'll even have Christians who say, well, you know, this church doesn't meet my needs. Or this church, I don't like the way they worship. Or I can't serve. I don't want to take on that responsibility. Or I don't want to give. I don't like what they're doing. Or it's always about me, me, me. I don't like what the church does. Is it going to make me comfortable? How does it help the individual comfort? Not what brings the church the most good. Sadly, what we see, the old president of the U.S., John Kennedy, once said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And we need to do that in the church. We need more Christians who say that. Say, I want to serve you, Lord. What can I do for the good of the church and for the gospel and to serve and build up others? Wiersbe said, the gifts are given for the good of the whole church, not individual enjoyment, but corporate employment. Now, here's the thing about it. When you serve out of a love and you want to use those gifts and what God's given you to build other Christians up, you're going to, as a byproduct, have joy. You're going to have fulfillment. But if you are thinking about, well, I'm going to use, what is my gift? How do I know my purpose? How do I do it for me? You're going to miss it. That's the way that it is. It reminds us our goal in using gifts is always for the common good and to give and to serve. And it's only as we grow in Christ that we're going to find that purpose, right? He gave His life for us, giving it up on the cross. He's the ultimate servant. He came to save us and change us. And only as we grow and serve, giving our lives for Him in service and surrender, are we going to find purpose and know our unique niche and know how our gifts are to be used. They're not going to be found in self-discovery or a self-fulfillment type of focus only on yourself. But only as you give your life for Jesus, as you give it out of love to love others in the church, use it for the common good, and the Spirit working in you manifests that. It's demonstrated. So many people, unfortunately, they look at spiritual gifts the wrong way with that individual focus, and they miss it. It's kind of like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. We're only going to have life and know what God's called us to do as we serve for the common good. It's a paradox of spirituality. But as we focus on God and serving others and not what the gifts do for us, that's where we find more of who Christ is, and we know our purpose in Him and find fulfillment. He's given us life in Him to serve out of generosity as we rest in His grace,
as we respond in service with the gifts he's given us. I don't have time to look at this, but if you look at Ephesians 4, it talks about how Jesus ascended in victory, the resurrection, but he who ascended also descended, bringing gifts, spoils from victory. He's talking about our gifts. And I think he's saying Jesus came and descended. He came to serve. As we follow him and serve with our gifts, we know his love. We know his humility. We know more of the depths of what the cross is all about. As we serve, they're grace gifts. This is where they're not something we earn. Think about it. If you're at lunch today and somebody drops a dessert on the floor, and you're going to act out of grace to serve, here's how you might know what your gifting is. If yours is prophecy, to boldly proclaim God's word, what I believe it is, then you might say, well, that's what happens if you're not careful. If somebody drops that dessert and you have mercy, you might say, well, don't feel bad. You know, you got compassion. You know, I knew a guy one time, he teared up about everything. I think he had this gift. Serving, you might say, let me help you. You just want to get in action. You got servants in the church, don't you like that? Teaching, you know, probably me, you know, don't want to give a one-word answer. God, explain it. You know, I want you to understand. You know, you might say the reason that dessert fell is it was too heavy this way. Giving, you might say, well, let me just get you another one. You want to put your money to use. Leadership, you might say, Jim, get the mop. Sue, help pick it up. Mary, fix the person more dessert. You want to organize, or maybe administration. There's all kinds of gifts we'll look at. But we've got to use our gifts for the common good. God's uniquely designed each of us with spiritual gifts. Verse 80 says, you notice this, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit. On and on. Verse 10, another working of miracles, to another prophecy, discerning of gifts. I don't believe this is exhaustive because of the list. Because if you look, there's Romans 12. I've got a list out there you can take and do a little study on it and kind of answer some questions if you're not going to come to the seminar, which I encourage that, by the way, of course. But there's different gifts in the different passages. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. It seems to be there's 21 of all those together, but it doesn't seem they're exhaustive. They're representative of how God works and spreads out his gifts among his people, using all the different gifts we have, that we mature in Christ and we grow in love and we serve out of grace and compassion. So you've got to examine them. You've got to experiment, get in there. You have to exercise them. And we're going to look more at this next week. But I want to briefly close with the last point quickly, verse 11, and that's stay focused on God. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he individually wills. I was reading the true story of this dog, a border collie. He was ejected in an accident from a car in this crash. And eventually, though, they found him. And you know where he was, this border collie? On a sheep farm where he apparently had found himself. And you know what he did? He was taking up the role of a sheep herder. Now, I say that to say, you know, God is sovereign, as Paul says here, in putting us where he wants us to be. He gifts us with the gifts and service, and no matter what the trials are and difficulties, he's going to put us and use us where he wants us to be. There are 21 different gifts mentioned here, but I think there is, again, not limited to that. But I want to say this as we close. We're not to seek out, say, I want that gift. I want that, or I wish I had that. God gives the gifts and puts us and uses us. And I believe this too. In any situation, any church where you are, God's going to give the gifts that are needed to do what he wants to do in that area. And he is sovereign in that. And we've got to stay focused on him. So we don't want to complain about our gifts or say, you know, some people say, well, I'll ask God and claim it by faith. I'll have this gift. I didn't mean God's. He's sovereign in what he gives his gifts. That's what Paul's saying here. And he gives us all that we need in any setting to serve Christ and to show the love of Christ and to do what he's called us to do. And we need to remember that. Not compare to others, not complain, but trust God. Stay focused on Christ, knowing he's working through us to build up his church. Let's close in prayer today. Gracious Lord, we come before you and we're thankful for the salvation we have in Jesus most of all. And we're thankful that you put us together in the church body with different gifts, different abilities. And you gift us with those grace gifts that we might serve you and know you and show your love, Lord God, to those that are around us, Lord, in the church, and that people will see more and more the beauty of your grace, see who Jesus is in all these ways through leadership and teaching and encouragement and mercy and compassion and service and helps. All these things that we'll look at more next week and in the class. Help us each to know our different combination of gifts and the niche that you have for us, that we might all serve and we might all grow together in Christ's likeness and knowing more and more the fullness of what you've given us in Christ. And Lord, that we might know our purpose and have true joy as we serve you. Lord, we give you all the thanks, all the praise for what you will do, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.